Tommy, I'm sure. What's the weather out there?
Greg's, it's 25 and sunny today.
Oh,
beautiful.
All right. All right. Some news. We're hearing Michael Granlund has signed a one-year deal, 3.75, to stay in Nashville, which I thought might be a landing spot for Mike Hoffman. Also, Tampa today, Cernak and Ruda re-signed there, and all the talk that Kucherov could be starting the season on LTI, and so they might not have to trade away anybody. So we're starting to see some rosters being filled out here in the days leading up to Christmas.
Yep, and that's another indicator that things are going to get going. Graves, I'll just say this. I've heard some rumblings concerning the Oilers as well, that they may be adding to the blue line. I know Friedman put out something a couple of days ago, and Bobby's been hinting at some stuff, but I know a couple of names that were thrown out there were Slater, Cuckoo, and Ben Hutton. If I'm a betting man, Greggs and Strutty, I would say expect to see Ben Hutton in an Oilers uniform if the Oilers want to bring in a veteran blue liner.
And what does he bring that the Oilers are missing right now?
Strutty, like, you look at his stats, he was 4 goals, 12 assists last year on a pretty subpar LA Kings team. I think he's just a solid defenseman, nothing too flashy. Mm-hmm. He was one of the few guys, I think they had six guys that were better than even a plus minus. And listen, take plus minus for what you want, take it with a grain of salt. But it's an indicator of something. So I think he would be a good veteran, nice stopgap, and provide a little bit of insulation for that blue line, especially on the left side. You know, what if Caleb Jones doesn't have a strong first full season in the National Hockey League? What if Chris Russell has some struggles? What if Darnell Nurse can't bear the burden with the gap and missing element of an Oscar Klefbom not being there for the season? So I think, you know, if they do bring him in, he will be one of those guys that can give you some reliable, steady minutes and not be too flashy, not really add a lot of offensive punch, but maybe not hurt you in your own zone as well. So, you know, it's kind of slim pickings when you look at what's out there for the blue line in terms of price point and where the Oilers might have some wiggle room in terms of cap space. So that's, I think it's a reasonable acquisition if they pull the trigger on that one.
So who's the guy that gets punted out? Is it Willie Lagesson?
Yeah, Strud's like, if Lagesson even, you know, hypothetically were to make it as the seven, I think, you know, or if you're penciling him in at seven, that would be probably who would go. That's the most reasonable scenario if that plays out. So and then maybe that tells you, too, they want Evan Bouchard playing more and not sitting around as a seven.
Well, then you've also got Theodore Lennstrom, who's coming over here.
Yeah, what do we know about him?
Right. Well, there's two guys as your 7 and 8 right now in your organization. You throw in Bouchard potentially as your number 9. If you're going to sign another defenseman, you know, then like you look at a guy like Lennstrom, and I guess, hey, that's just the business of hockey. If they feel they can improve with other players, then away you go. But it's interesting to me because I look at the Oilers' top six, and, you know, like, I guess Ben Hutton and Slater Cuckoo would both be signed at league minimum at this point, right? And and it gives you they definitely have more NHL experience than Lagesson and Lennstrom. So it's an interesting one. Well, you know, when I look at it, and obviously, you know, the Oilers, I think if they sign one of those guys, I think it's also protection due to COVID that you in a normal year you might not do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and hey, it's good to see that we're getting the protocols too with all the releases today from the league.
Well, yeah, there's lots of different protocols. They will announce this year that, you know, any player who tests positive during the regular season, you know, just like the NFL, they'll make his name public. They won't do it during training camp. It'll just be league-wide numbers at that point. So, you know, the offside rule, Tom Gazzola joins us. To me, that's the best news I've heard in a long time from the NHL. Now, if your foot is off of the ice above the blue line, you're not offside, which is how it should always have been.
Yeah, and this will speed the games up. I mean, how many times, guys, even in the playoffs, Greg's, when we were at those games and there would be a challenge and, you know, we would just sit there and look at each other and kind of roll our eyes and be like, oh, here we go, like another 5 to 10 minutes of waiting around. And listen, I'm hyperbolizing the wait time, but this was a no-brainer, I think. It almost feels like, do you guys remember when they took the toe out of the crease rule in the late 90s. Remember, if you just had a toe in the crease, it was automatically no goal. And then they finally said, all right, enough of this. It's getting too silly. This kind of reminds me of that. And it's good to see. And I think this is going to be embraced with open arms for sure.
Well, it's just an absolute no-brainer. I mean, it was just crazy. It was absolutely crazy that this was all happening. You know, joined by Tommy Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Looking around the league, is there a player that you think might sign or be traded quite quickly? Because the team's got to get themselves organized here to get everyone in quarantine proper time.
Oh, Strutty, the trade scenario, I mean, this cap compliance is going to be a tightrope walk. I can see a ton of the UFAs that are kind of just waiting around. I know we saw some deals like the Sheary one and Drake Kajula signing yesterday. Like, I feel like there's going to be guys that are UFAs that are still going to be getting ready and basically acting like they're ready to go, and they'll be filling in as soon as holes start to form on rosters. So I don't know in terms of like trades and what's going to happen. I don't know what the easiest answer there is, but you look at all the teams that are over the cap right now, and it looks like almost a third of the teams in the league, and they're going to have to finagle and make some moves. Maybe the Golden Knights pull the trigger, and I know they're saying Bill Foley came out last week and said, "Hey, we're not shopping Max Pacioretty, yeah. and we're not shopping these guys," but he didn't say that they're not available. So. It's something like that might catch us off guard. A player that we thought wouldn't be on the move, that all of a sudden we're seeing, whoa, like a team with plenty of cap space, like a New Jersey or even an LA or a Nashville, just takes a run at a guy like that, and you're like, geez, okay, I guess that's part of the cap crunch.
Tom Gazzola joins us on MTED Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, what do you make of the CFL and, you know, lots of announcements for other teams, you know, restructuring contracts and everything like that? And there's really been nothing from the double E. What do you make of that?
Odd, but at the same time, like the deals that are being restructured, we're seeing the big ticket guys, the Mike Rileys, the Bo Levi Mitchells, and then we're seeing casualties of strictly money things or issues in like a Zach Evans out of his hometown in Regina. I'm looking at the double E and I'm going, okay, well, you know, it seems like everybody else is getting a move on what they want to do. And I know they're running a lean ship right now, like a lot of other companies, but you would think that Brock Sunderland and Scott Milanovic want to start to sort out and shape up this roster heading into training camp, you know, when that happens. I don't know. Like, are they going to lose a ton of guys? The potential is there, but and I also think too, just, you know, looking back on the team when I played in 2019, it didn't strike me as a team that was that far off. It got off to a hot start, and then discipline was an issue, and it faded away late in the season and lost games it should have won or would have won earlier in the season. So to me, it seemed like the elements of a good team were there. It was just a matter of attitude and discipline, and you know, Milanovic comes in and maybe he can take what that roster was and you know, keep it in line and make it work. But I don't know. Like, will Almondo Sewell be gone? Like, he's a guy that's been around that you look at and you go, geez, that's a guy that's synonymous with the green and gold. He could be gone. Like, there's so many situations playing out with this whole CFL free agency that to me, everything's a wild card.
Yeah, I'd be stunned though if Almondo. I could maybe they restructure his deal, but he's got a home here in Edmonton full time. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he wants.
I'm just
to go
using him
else,
as an example too, but it's just one of those weird scenarios where you're like, "What's going on?" It's been oddly quiet. It seems like
when you sit around and look at the CFL, does the fact that, you know, you see some GMs getting, you know, or front office staff and coaches getting extensions and some players getting reworked, does that give you more confidence that a season will happen this year? Or is that just kind of a part of what's going on and we shouldn't read too much into it?
As an optimistic person in general, Struds, it does tell me that it seems like they're getting everything back in order and every intention of playing this upcoming summer and that it is going to happen. after, you know, a period of just obscurity and just oddly quiet and nothing really going on. And we heard the battles with the federal government to try to get money. So now that we're starting to see some movement and news is coming to light about the league in the middle of the winter, to me that is a good indicator that it's back in business, or at least intends to be back in business. I'm guessing it will be. And I hope it happens on a regular schedule, but who knows? COVID has thrown a wrench into so many things that even if they play a shortened season, which to me seems crazy, but, the best laid plans over the last, 10 months have been sidetracked. So I do have confidence, Strutty, that this is going to happen. And I think that the news that we're getting is an indicator that it is starting to get back to business here.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Tuesday evening. Enjoy the NBA as it tips off tonight.
That's right. Hey, go James Harden.